This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
It's not clear what may have been taken, and no arrests have been made.
A 71-year-old man is accused of inappropriately touching a 12-year-old girl at the Walmart in West Mifflin Sunday afternoon.
People, I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It is April 17th, 2024. Live streaming as always on the Rumble, on the Locals, and the YouTube. Share, subscribe, tap that notification bell. Post game show, RubinReport.locals.com. You can ask me questions. You can correct me. You can say mean things to me on the video screen. That's what we do over here at the Rubin Report. We like criticism over here at the Dave Rubin program. The theme of today's show is that the jihadists, the anti-American lunatics, the leftist psychos, also known as Democrats, they are kind of breaking, they're just bursting forth everywhere. They're taking over Google offices, they're rampaging on the street, they're in the halls of Congress, and it's not good. It's not good because, you know, if you think things are a little worse than they were, say, 2 years ago, and if you think things 2 years ago are a little worse than they were 4 years ago, and we can extrapolate that, we can just keep going down the road on that one, then we've got to put a stop to it. And there are some places that are putting a stop to it. No, it's not New York, and it's not our places of higher education. It is places like Florida, like Texas, things of that nature. So we're going to show you how the Democrats are really wildly out of control. And using video and audio, we will show you how they think they are God, but they are not. So just to show you just sort of the level of extremism that we're dealing with in the West right now, and whether the West is just gonna like fall on the sword and just give away all of the goodness that for hundreds and hundreds of years we have spread across the country. I wanna show you what's happening on mainstream media right now. So Piers Morgan, Piers, who I've done his show, we're sort of friendly, I would say. I'd like to have him on the show. Piers is like very 50-50 on a lot of things. He's really good at times, and then at the same time will be like really kind of awful on things. And I'd love to discuss his approach as it pertains to how he interviews and whatever. So maybe we can do that. But I'm gonna show you a couple clips here of him doing fine work. He had a guest on his show yesterday. Her name is Nurdeen Kiswani. She is a graduate from CUNY, that's the City University of New York. And he asked her a very simple question. Do you condemn chants of death to America by the pro-Palestinian, the pro-Hamas activists? And these chants are now everywhere, right? We're seeing them on university campuses. We're seeing them as they close bridges, as they stop people from getting to the airport, et cetera. These are not just the standard run-of-the-mill death to Israel things. Death to America being chanted in America. Piers asked Nurdeen what she felt about that.
You know, phrases and actions that have been taken at the protest haven't actually been violent. They haven't harmed anyone. And I don't think we should focus.
What do you think about people chanting death to America, as they did in one video clip?
I think that that's just a phrase maybe said by an individual.
Well, no, the whole crowd began joining in.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy said it, and then the whole crowd began chanting it. What would you condemn that?
I'm here to talk about the entire
Israeli government.
Hang on,
you're here to answer my questions, actually. Would you condemn what they were chanting, death to America?
I think we should condemn Palestinians actually being killed.
Okay.
I think that... And
that's not the question I'm asking you. So I will ask you about Gaza. But on the question I asked you, would you condemn people in America chanting death to America? What do you say?
I don't condemn how people choose to express their rage verbally. I don't condemn that because at the end of the day, the reason they're saying that is because the U.S. is sending the tax dollars and the weapons that are actually creating
death to Gaza. So do you support them chanting death to America?
I don't chant that myself, so I don't know why you're trying to trap me in this type of
I'm asking you to
argument.
Condemn it. You don't want to.
How
so I'm asking,
to condemn?
I'm asking, do you therefore, should I assume you support them chanting?
Those aren't the chants that I would personally
so then
do
condemn
myself.
So
you must either... Hang on.
Sorry.
I just want an opinion on this. You must surely either condemn it or support it.
No, you don't need to...
You're neutral
and
death to America? That's terrifying.
How would anyone do, do you think, if they went to Gaza and chanted death to Palestine with Hamas terrorists nearby?
All right, so that's good work by Piers. That's not letting a guest off the hook. That girl is American, as far as I understand, and went to CUNY. So she went to a city school in New York. So she's a New Yorker, likely. And she can't condemn death to America. You could say, I've got my problems with America. I don't like some of our foreign policy. I don't like how we're doing this or that. I don't like this current administration. But we have really escalated the woke lunacy to, you can see the next evolution of it. The next evolution, Israel was just like the little stopgap into what it really is. What it really is wildly anti-American, because it's anti-Western values. It's anti-free speech, it's anti-individual rights, it's anti-constitution, Bill of Rights, all of those things. Like, it's just so freaking obvious. I think you can probably see it. So it's that's some fine work by Piers, basically just trying to pin her on that. And then, you know, she also did that same thing that, if you remember, what was her name? Gay. What was Gay's name? Claudine Gay over at Harvard. Remember when they were doing that congressional hearing a couple months ago, and when all the university presidents were like, well, you know, speech, unless it turns into violence, right? And it's like, well, wait a minute. So you have to wait for the genocide? Like, you can be for free speech, for the First Amendment, for the government being able to, the government not taking away someone's right to free speech. But these are the very same people who are offering trigger warnings and all the rest of the nonsense, right? Safe spaces and everything else. So the hypocrisy, it is good. Yes, it is good when it gets exposed. But okay, you might be watching that and you're going, Dave, okay, it's a little heavy-handed. You're just picking some girl from CUNY, who cares? And Piers put her on, and she can't represent an awful lot of people, could she? Well, how about this video from Fox News? This is a reporter outside the Capitol trying to ask some of the Hamas caucus, Ayanna Pressley, AOC, and Katie Porter, whether they condemn chants of death to America.
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge were burning the American flag and chanting death to America. Do you support that type of protest? Congresswoman? Do you support burning the American flag and chanting death to America? Does it sound like this is pro-Palestinian or anti-American if they're burning American flags and chanting death to America?
I'm not privy to... I haven't seen these reports. I'd have to check for them myself.
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge burned the American flag and chanted death to America. Do you condemn this type of rhetoric?
We've got to get her onto her next event here.
Are you okay with people burning the American flag?
If you'd like to follow up with us.
Are you okay with people chanting death to America?
Sorry, we've got to head into...
Congresswoman Porter, are you okay with people chanting death to America? Is it okay? Do you not have a problem with it?
Happy to reach out here.
That's Katie Porter there at the end. I mean, just how absolutely pathetic, anti-American and pathetic do you have to be? You don't have to support Israel. You may not like this or that or the other thing. You may be more sympathetic to Hamas for whatever reason, but why can't you just say we condemn the chants of death to America? They're telling you by not telling you this is what they support. And I know that nothing works in our government. I get it, nothing works. But those people should be kicked out of Congress. They swear an oath to protect the Constitution of the United States of America. Do you think they care about the Constitution of the United States of America? Do you think they wouldn't gladly imprison people that went against them? Do you think they wouldn't gladly infringe on other people's free speech if they could? We kind of know that the Democrats have done that. Not kind of, we do know the Democrats have done that as it pertains to big tech. But why can't they do it? Because they are signaling to their people, we hate America too. They are here to destroy the country. And until enough of us just realize that, I don't think I'm being over the top or hyperbolic or anything else. All I'm saying is, AOC, can you just say that chanting death to America is bad? And she needs context. She didn't see that specific video. The other one doesn't know how many people did it. The girl on Piers, well, I didn't watch the video. We've all seen it. We've seen it from Dearborn, Michigan. We've seen it from the streets of Seattle. We've seen it in New York City. We've seen it now in the Google offices. So it's bubbling up. And as always, it's the good people who will do nothing that will actually add fuel to the fire. But there are a couple actual good people who do something. I want to show you another clip from the Piers Morgan Show. It's the same segment, same panel. They Skyped in an Iranian woman by the name of Alicia Liban. And here she is talking about the confusion as it pertains to who are the good guys and bad guys when we're talking about Iran and what just happened with them attacking Israel, et cetera.
You are the only actual Iranian amongst us. You were born there. So what is your response to what you've heard so far?
Well, I'm really frustrated with the complete distortion of the narrative. Like, you're talking about these strikes in Syria, first of all, not being on an Iranian embassy. So let's just get our facts straight. It was on a military base that was next to the embassy. Why is the military base there? Why is the Islamic Republic making Syria vulnerable to these attacks? You want to talk about bombs on Syria? Guess who's doing that? It's the Islamic Republic by using other countries as a base. So it makes Syrian people vulnerable to that. So let's not just act like there's strikes on there for no reason. Second of all, you talk about civilians. People were actually killed in that strike, which targeted senior IRGC leaders who were meeting with Hezbollah. Meeting with Hezbollah to do what exactly? Because let's just talk about what's been happening for the past 6 months, much less the past four decades, which is that we have seen October 7th, okay, which was an act of war. Let's be clear. Let's dispel this narrative that there's no evidence that the Islamic Republic supported that. It's been reported over and again on October 7th, every single day since October 7th, firing rockets into Israel. And then when there is a strike on IRGC leaders planning a meeting with Hezbollah to further attack Israel, you want to turn around and say, oh, people were killed. Guess who was killed? The people that were killed are the people when the Islamic Republic struck Israeli embassies in different countries, actual civilians, okay? Not military senior personnel. And guess who else would have been killed if it wasn't for the Iron Dome? 300 rockets, you're talking about hundreds and thousands of deaths. So you're relying on the fact that there was an Iron Dome, and this is where we draw the line. We draw the line at this vocal support for the Islamic Republic being framed as the victim in this story that they have been orchestrating for decades, orchestrating terrorism, regional stability for decades. You want to talk about the Houthis that are fighting for freedom? How dare you? How dare you not acknowledge what the Houthis are doing in Yemen? Do you listen to Yemenis and their voices and what they have to say? They are being terrorized. They are being starved. They are being killed. A young Arabic woman is on death row right now in Yemen for criticizing the Houthis. Are you speaking about their rights when you talk about Yemeni people fighting for freedom in the Red Sea? How are you going to call freedom takers freedom fighters?
Okay, well, that's a good... Oh, Alec, let me just jump in.
I know that was a bit long, but I didn't want to cut any of that, because when you hear actual truth and moral clarity, it's worth noting, right? And there really was no rebuttal to any of that. I also want to reiterate what she said about the Iron Dome, because some of the congresswomen that we showed you in the previous clip, like AOC and Ayanna Pressley, they didn't want to fund the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome saves lives on both sides. Rockets coming in, Iron Dome blows them up, so it saves Israeli lives. But then when less Israelis die, they don't have to hit back as hard the other way. So it actually ends up saving Gazan lives, or in this case, Iranian lives as well, because they're like, oh, well, we didn't have that much damage here. You actually could make, I think, a very clear argument that the Iron Dome has been a net negative, in that if it didn't exist and the damage was actually the damage that would occur if you would have thousands of rockets shot in, that Israel would do what it's got to do and it would kind of end all of this. That's sort of a secondary tactical conversation to have. But I think this girl is just absolutely spectacular. We're gonna try to get her on the show. And here's another video of her. It's about a minute long that's been making the rounds. And just listen to just like clarity and cleanliness. And if any of you think anything she said here is a lie, put it in the comments and we will gladly get into it.
Hi, Iranian woman here. It's become very apparent that you haven't been listening to anything that we've had to say for the past 2 years. But I was wondering if you could just lend me a few minutes of your time in this ungodly hour to hear us now. We've had to watch over the past 24 hours people clambering onto the internet to exclaim that Iran has the right to defend itself. In what capacity have you distorted this story to make the Islamic Republic the victim? That's I think what we're most curious about. When we were screaming for the past 2 years that they were lynching us, where were you? When we were screaming that they were killing Iranian women for not wearing a hijab, where were you? When they were lynching Iranian men from cranes for protesting, where were you? When we were explaining that this is a terrorist occupying force, where were you? But all of a sudden, everyone's graduated from Instagram School of Law to say that this is a violation of international law and Iran has the right to defend itself. You're not talking about Iran, you're talking about the Islamic Republic. What the Islamic Republic does is not a reflection of the Iranian people. We've been clear about what we want, which is peace.
I love that line, because you've graduated from the Instagram School of Law, and unfortunately that's what we've been left with, you know, with the mainstream media that lies about absolutely everything. You end up getting your information from people who graduated from the Instagram School of Law. She's making a couple of really good points there. I mean, the idea that this is against the Iranian people is completely untrue. You know, the Iranian people, you may remember, were having their own revolution. They were having their own revolution when Barack Obama was president, and we did nothing to help them, nothing to help them. They don't want to live under the mullahs, right? They want women to be free. They want minorities to be free. But the mullahs are in control of everything, and Barack Obama's kind of in bed with them. And I suspect that Joe Biden, for whatever's left in his brain, is kind of with them as well. That's in stark contrast, of course, to what happened in Egypt. In Egypt, they had this guy, Hosni Mubarak. He was the president for decades. Signed peace deals. He was an authoritarian, not a great guy as president of Egypt. But when Egypt had their, you know, ground up revolution to rear square, we threw him under the bus immediately. But for some reason, we didn't do that as it pertained to Iran. Anyway, here's video of the crown prince of Iran, who I think is now living in exile, calling for a regime change, also on Piers Morgan's show.
Scratch their head and say, look, diplomacy has failed. Our expectation of behavior change from this regime over decades is pointless. The time has come to look for an ultimate solution to the problem. If we indeed want to avoid escalation, we have to put an end to this regime, which is the ask of the Iranian people in the first place. But the world needs to seriously consider that the only solution and alternative is regime change in Iran.
Okay, I'm not calling for regime change. I don't know what that is, what that actually would entail. And generally speaking, when you try to change the regime in another country, it doesn't work out that well. It did not work out well for us in Iraq. It did not work out well for us in Libya, et cetera, et cetera. But perhaps helping the people on the ground who want to be free is good, or at least not giving them, I don't know, say $6 billion 2 weeks before October 7th. Like, maybe that would be a little bit of something, perhaps, right? But you might be watching all this going, Dave, I don't really care about the Middle East, and I don't really care about international affairs and all that. And I'm very sympathetic to that argument. And I wish we didn't have to talk about all of those things. But in a moment, I'm going to connect this directly to what is happening at our on our streets and at our universities, and clearly what now is leaking up into radical anti-Americanism that we are seeing with our Democrats in Congress. It is rather evil. But before we do that, I can't get a segue here. How can we work this into fast-growing trees? These people like to shoot rockets at trees, but you should grow trees, people, because did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Guys, you know I'm really into greenery and building gardens, and I guarantee you that these guys are the best for that. These experts at FastGrowingTrees.com curate thousands of plants so you can find the perfect fit for your specific climate, location, and needs. You don't have to drive around to nurseries and big gardening centers. Whether you're looking to add some privacy, shade, or natural beauty to your yard, Fast Growing Trees has in-house experts ready to help you make the right selection with growing and care available 24/7. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners of our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code Ruben at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com. Use code Ruben at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com. Use code Ruben. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. And now back to me. All right, so you're watching this. You're going, Dave, I don't really care. These guys bomb these guys. Those guys bomb those guys. Who cares what happens in that part of the world? I am sympathetic to that argument. So let's pin that for a moment and now look at what is going on in the United States of America, because I just showed you video of three Democrats in Congress who cannot condemn the phrase death to America. So what else could be happening here at our universities? Because we know that much of what has happened over the last 30 years has been born at our universities. And it's not just our universities, it's the elite universities. So check this out. This is unbelievable. This is really unbelievable. This is video of a guy by the name of Mohammed Abdu. He is a visiting professor in the Modern Arab Studies Department at Columbia University. And listen to this guy, who is not an American, teaching American students at an American university about the business of propaganda.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. We're standing very much on Linen and Abbey territory. I am a settler on stolen land. What does that have to deal with Palestine? Well, we're in the business of propaganda, whether we like to admit it or not. And so the question is, do people want a revolution, an actual revolution, a real revolution? Do they want to be revolutionary, or do they want to sell ciphers, opinions on the internet? Because revolutions require on-the-ground organizing work. This is stolen land. America is leading this war, and the chickens are coming home to roost, as Malcolm had noted. This ain't no American dream. It was always an American nightmare. For fighting for the rights of indigenous people to assert their own sovereignty, their own governance, their own ways of living, then we need to contend with that here. We can't lie to ourselves. What a free Palestine, what about land back here? Again, America is leading this war. What is land back halal with regards to Palestine, but not here? Not a free Palestine, free over here. What does it mean for Palestine to be free? What does it mean for Turtle Island to be free? America is a settler colonial society. Israel is a settler colonial society. Where do you think that they got that idea from, that structure from? BDS is great. Blocking ports is amazing. Shipping routes, commerce, travel, trade. Even ruining somebody, a white supremacist, powerful day, week, month.
I mean, do you need me to add to this? This guy is a visiting professor at Columbia. He's not just saying destroy Israel, he's saying destroy America. Interestingly, since it's very clear he wouldn't mind virtually any of the techniques that one might use to destroy America, as he talks about indigenous rights in America. So I think he would be actually okay if a Native American strapped on a suicide bomb, a suicide belt, whatever you want to call it, and went to Columbia and blew up the building he was in. He was doing it in the name of freeing the people, right? That guy needs to be deported right now. Now, he will not be deported. He will not be sanctioned by Colombia. The administration will do nothing. They'll ask Corinne, you know, Fox will ask Corinne Jean-Pierre about it. She'll say she doesn't have enough information. But do you see why these things are deeply linked? Again, Israel is just the tiny little buffer before they really go after America. And think of the thousands. It's literally hundreds of thousands of young people who have been brainwashed by jihadists, anti-American jihadists who are visiting professors like this guy. And by the way, they're not all visiting professors. Plenty of them are not visiting professors. Plenty of them are just regular tenured professors. Anyway, if you want to see more lunacy out of Columbia, this is basically ground zero for Hamas's student operation in the United States and the what they hope will be the undoing of America. Here is the main lawn of Columbia University, where they have launched the Gaza Solidarity Encampment. Look at these mask-wearing weirdo losers. I really think, to some extent, I do not think it is a conspiracy theory that COVID was run on us to see how many people would wear masks, knowing that this thing, whatever we're seeing right now, was coming, and that these people would all want to cover their faces. They're outdoors wearing masks. They look like terrorists. They're building tents. They should all be kicked off campus. They should all be removed from school. This is ridiculous. Either we will defend liberalism and liberal values and all of these things, or we will not. This is just going to get worse at these places. By the way, does anyone get laid anymore? I have asked this. Nobody's getting laid anymore. Nobody, not on college. Connor's like, listen, you don't ask me that question. Look, people go, if you're in college, go get laid. Go get laid and you will be less inclined to put on a terrorist scarf and a mask and build a tent for people who would gladly throw you off a roof. Get laid. I know it's old school, but just try it. You'll probably like it. But you know what, guys? It's not happening everywhere. It's not happening on every college campus, and it's not happening every state. Perfect segue for an ad this time, and then we'll get to the state part of it. Let me tell you guys about Hillsdale College. Guys, time is our most precious commodity, and I've heard from so many of my listeners who have asked for my advice about how you can spend it wisely to improve yourself and the people around you. That's why I'm incredibly excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the great stories in the book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. And to think these morons are spending 50 grand a year at Columbia. That's right, absolutely free, guys. I personally recommend you sign up for American Citizenship and Its Decline with Victor Davis Hanson. In this 8-lecture course, Dr. Hanson explores the history citizenship in the West and the threats it faces today. Threats like the erosion of the middle class, the disappearance of our borders, the growth of an unaccountable deep state, and the rise of globalist organizations. The course is self-paced, so you can start whenever and wherever. Start your free course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, with Victor Davis Hanson today. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Dave to start. It's free and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Dave to start. And now back to me. I mean, that is an ad that fits the program. But okay, we get it. This is happening at the university level all over the place. And that then it leaks out into society. These people become congressmen. These people become industry leaders. And then their companies collapse and all of the rot that we see everywhere. But it doesn't have to be this way. Somehow, we have so eroded the standards, perhaps through DEI, which is an erosion of standards, we've eroded the standards of these elite schools that they're not letting in the best and the brightest, they're letting in the most pathetic and douchebaggy. Right? But here's a guy that knows a little something about going to an Ivy League college, who's done a little something good on this planet, who's actually the leader of a functioning state in the United States. Yeah, you can guess who. Here's Governor Ron DeSantis talking about what it was like to be at Harvard Law School when he was there.
I mean, I remember when I got to law school, I was a baseball player all through college. I was working jobs as well. And I was doing schoolwork, so I was very busy. I get to law school, and they're like, "Oh, it's so tough. Like, you, Harvard Law School is like you can't work, you can't do." So here I am. I'm not an athlete anymore, and I wasn't working for the first time in a long time. So all I'm doing is going to be a first-year law student. And I never had so much time on my hands in my life. It was boring. And I'm sitting there, okay, you know, you have all this. So I immediately, after a few months of that, you know, got some jobs and started making money to be able to put my way through. So we want people to be able to do that. I don't think there's any program that you couldn't work at all and be a part of. I just don't buy that.
I cannot believe we didn't nominate that guy. Jesus Christ. Anyway, the point is that school doesn't have to be this way. These elite universities don't have to be this way. Here you have a guy, he was a baseball player, quite a good baseball player. Yeah, gets to Harvard Law. Now he has time, so he starts working more, getting jobs, paying his way through, as opposed to these entitled little Hamas bitches that are at Columbia right now. And the reason I'm showing you that is because if someone goes to a university and works hard and gets good grades and then gets a good job or maybe even becomes governor of a state, then they can do things that are good for the other citizens. Check out, Ron DeSantis just tweeted this out. We are doing more good stuff in Florida. And I know I can show you the bad stuff across the country all day long, but I think it is worth showing you this from DeSantis. HB 1285 ensures Florida will remain the number one state in the nation for education. Universal school choice, comprehensive CIBS curriculum, family empowerment scholarships, scholarships for students with unique abilities and assistance to their families, eliminated DEI at post-secondary institutions, empowered parents to be involved with their children's education, removed sexual content and gender identity from classrooms, accountability for college professors, transparency requirements for tuition and fees, transformed the accreditation process. So you can do it right. That is all of the good stuff, and that's still why people are flocking here. By the way, yesterday I had Miami Mayor Francis Suarez in, and we talked about how he's making sure that they can't take over our roads and you can't block traffic and all those things. So we'll release that soon enough. But we have a series of politicians here who are just like, we're just not going to be part of this. You can't teach this evil terrorist stuff at our schools. You can't teach DEI. You can't close down our bridges and our airports and everything else. And we will continue to flourish because of that. But yes, DEI is DIEing here. Here's more from DeSantis on that.
The first thing that we're going to propose is we want to make sure that everybody that goes through a Florida university has to take certain core course requirements that's really focused on giving them the foundation so that they can think for themselves. And the core curriculum must be grounded in actual history, the actual philosophy that has shaped Western civilization. Our institutions will be graduating students, I think, with degrees that are going to be meaningful. We don't want students to go through at taxpayer expense and graduate with a degree in zombie studies. And so this is going to make a difference. We are also going to eliminate all DEI and CRT bureaucracies in the state of Florida. No funding, and that will wither on the vine. And I think that that's very important because it really serves as an ideological filter, a political filter. You've seen different things. I mean, New College has really embraced that, and that's part of the reason I think it hasn't been successful.
Can't believe we didn't nominate that guy. We really dropped the ball on that one. Connor just told me that not only, of course, Ron DeSantis nails all that stuff, he also batted 336 at Yale. Okay, that's Tony Gwynn level stuff. Like, that's Kirby Puckett level. Like, come on, guys, what did we do? But okay, let that be for a moment. So yes, here in Florida, we are destroying all of the systemically built-in systems that have led to this lunacy that we are seeing everywhere, that have led to the lack of law and order, that have led to young people's brains being blown apart and everything else. So we're fixing it here. So now let's compare that and contrast that with places that it's not being fixed. One of those places is the televised mental institution known as MSNBC. Here is Joy Reid, who I'm fairly certain culturally appropriated her hairstyle, talking about how excited she is that Trump is being attacked? I don't know. There's a black lady going after Trump.
There is something wonderfully poetic about the fact that despite the fact that even if convicted, he's not going to go to prison, the first person to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump is a black Harvard grad, the very kind of person that his former staff, the people who worked for him, Stephen Miller, et cetera, want to never be at Harvard Law School. But he was. And he came out and graduated. And he's prosecuting you, Donald. And a black woman is doing that same exact thing in Georgia. And a black woman forced you to pay a $175 million fine that's out now also in question because the people who put it up, that might not be legit. Donald Trump is being held to account by the very multicultural, multiracial democracy that he's trying to dismantle. And for me, there's something poetic and actually wonderful about that. It says something good about our country that we're still capable of having that happen. Go DEI. My DEIs are bringing it.
I mean, she is just a racist nutbag. Can you imagine if Donald Trump happened to be a black public figure and she was just saying the reverse of that? Well, a white woman got him convicted and a white woman got him to pay those hundreds of millions of dollars and another white woman went after him for this. That would be, I might call it white supremacy. These people are absolutely insane. And then again, you wonder why young people are chanting death to America, and it's directly connected to racist lunatics like Joy Reid. That fucking haircut. Anyway, here's I was going to try not to do it today. Anyway, here's someone that actually does make sense and is consistently right about pretty much everything, Megyn Kelly.
We're trying to screen these potential jurors out for bias and, you know, following certain news sources and so on that might evidence that bias. Look at the DA who ran as promising to get Trump. Look at the judge who's had negative Trump commentary in the past, as his own daughter has espoused, criticizing him on social media. Like, it's amazing that you can get bounced as a juror for that crap, but you can still try the case as the judge and you can still prosecute the case as Alvin Bragg.
Right, so you get what's going on here. They're desperately trying to make sure that no Trump supporters get on the jury of this thing, because then, oh my God, Trump might get away with it. No one's even sure what it is, but if Trump supporter, then they'll be evil, right? But the people that are prosecuting the case and the judges and everyone else, they all hate Trump. So the asymmetry here is just completely, completely insane. Here is... Here is a woman who is a co-host on The View program. She's a former federal prosecutor. Her name's Sunny Hostin. The fact that this woman was a federal prosecutor really could make you wonder if the system is, like, irreparably broken. Here she is, very concerned that a Trump supporter might sneak onto the jury.
They are never going to find someone that doesn't know about the former twice impeached loser president, yeah. Right? They're never going to find that. But what I did find also interesting about my Super Bowl is that the legal teams will be checking the jurors' social media profiles to see if they can assess the truthfulness and intention of what they said during voir dire, which is their questioning. And I think that's really, really important, because if you start liking Trump's and you follow Trump stuff on social media, can you be impartial? I don't really think so. And I think what could happen in a case like this is if you have someone, and we were talking about this morning, someone named Clay Travis is sort of telling people to get onto that jury. You get one person that sneaks onto that jury with untoward feelings, that person can hang that jury.
How do you sneak onto a jury? You have to be called.
Well, you lie. You lie. You say, hate Trump. But I can be impartial, and I this than that, and then all of a sudden, that's the person.
Yeah, well, they're going to find a jury of his peers. How many bloated orange psychos out there?
Yeah. So.
Yes, you were really sitting on that one for a while, Joy. But do you see why their default position is wrong? So basically, what her premise is that if someone follows Trump and you see Trump's Truth Social things, or in essence, if you watch Fox or any of these shows, you are tainted. But if you don't like Trump, if you don't watch Fox News, if you don't watch a scary Ben Shapiro, let's say, or Dave Rubin or Tucker Carlson or something, you're not tainted, right? So if you watch MSNBC, you're not tainted. If you go the other way, you are tainted. And that is largely due to the default settings that these people all have. They've owned the culture for so long that they think if anyone thinks differently than them, then they automatically are evil. Now, that isn't to say that someone could sneak their way onto a jury. It obviously happens all the time. The best you can hope for is that a jury of your peers is as impartial as possible and that Lady Justice is blind. But we know that at the moment, Lady Justice isn't blind because of all these sham prosecutions and everything else. Now, if you thought that was bananas, this is spectacular. This is like just, we all watched it and we're just like, wow, hot diggity dog. This is MSNBC again. Nicole Wallace's program, and she brings on a legal expert by the name of Tristan Snell. And watch as Tristan Snell, legal expert Tristan Snell, gets fact-checked live on air. We may show this one 7 times in a row, so get the button ready.
But why is he there? He's there because he wants to show that he's being persecuted. It's a way for him to raise money off his base. That's why he keeps coming to all of these trials in New York. There's no good reason for him to be at most of these.
Does he have to be in this one?
He has to be in some of these things, but like he keeps coming though. Like he was there for the civil trial. He was there for the trial with E. Jean Carroll. Like he doesn't need to be here for every single moment of these things. And he keeps coming because he's trying to raise money off of it. So...
He has to be there. And the judge warned him the other day that if he fails to appear, a warrant will be issued for his arrest. And if he disrupts the proceedings, he could be ejected or go to jail. He has to be there every day.
For this one, that's the criminal defense.
But just the number of minutes that he's there. So he has to be there for some of these.
I mean, that is one of the most incredible. First off, they should have just escorted him off the set and put him in a trash can. Like, that should have been it for him. the woman there who looks like she got electrocuted at the end, she's also dressed like a judge. She must know which. Where do they get these fucking people? Really, like, he shouldn't be there. Why is he there? Well, he has to be. Well, I'm not a lawyer, but like, okay, so that's what they're doing over there, and that's called news, right? That's called news. Well, now let's get to something called comedy. There is this man, Stephen Colbert, who took over for the great David Letterman, and he does a quote-unquote comedy show. And here he is once again, because they've never done this one before, so this is why we want to show you this one. He's calling Donald Trump racist. I don't want to lead into the clip too much, but I just, brace yourself, because this type of thing doesn't happen too often.
Before the jury selection even started this morning, prosecutors argued that Trump had violated his gag order and asked Judge Merchan to hold Trump in contempt for criticizing potential witnesses in social media posts, asking him to fine Trump $3,000. Only $3K? But I guess that's on brand for Trump. KKK.
Donald Trump, lowest all-time black unemployment, lowest all-time Latino unemployment. We now see the black community breaking largely towards him. The Rock, wait, is The Rock black or white, or what's the deal with The Rock? He's kind of black. He's a little blackish, right?
Owen.
Kind of half there, let's say. He's kind of not into Biden anymore. So you see what's happening here. It's just the same old crap. Now, the other thing that happened was that they claimed that Donald Trump, apparently there's no cameras in the courtroom, but they claim that Donald Trump like closed his eyes and opened his mouth for a little bit, which would imply that he was going to sleep. So here's another quote-unquote comedian making a joke about that, which I guess irony is dead, because have they seen the corpse that is the head of the Democrat Party? I'm not so sure.
The trial isn't televised, but there are reporters in the courtroom, including Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, who let us in on this little gem. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack, followed by Trump has apparently jolted back awake, noticing the notes his lawyer passed him several minutes ago. If Biden is Sleepy Joe, I guess that makes you Dozo the Clown, huh? I mean, can you imagine? Imagine if Joe Biden fell asleep in the court on the first day of his trial. Trump would be calling him Comatose Joe. Fox News would be talking about this until Christmas, but not old Donnie Napleseed. He, multiple reports said Trump's head drooped until his chin hit his chest, which, I don't know, maybe he was just following the price of his Truth Social stock, but, either way, it's nice to see even Donald Trump is exhausted by Donald Trump. Today was devoted to jury selection. They started with a pool of 500 jurors. They brought in the first 96, and right off the bat, half of them said they couldn't be fair and impartial, so they were dismissed. And so then they asked those who were left if any of them had read any of Trump's books, and none of them had. See, that's why this needs to be televised, so we can see the look on his face when a bunch of people announced they never read any of his books.
Here are the fish. Clap, clap, clap. You're a bunch of seals. Again, you see the ridiculousness there, because they own the culture. If Donald Trump, and by the way, this is all on one reported incident by Maggie Haberman, who's a New York Times reporter. Again, there's no video of this, but they're all running with this thing that Donald Trump fell asleep. How often is Jimmy Kimmel or Stephen Colbert doing the clips of Joe Biden fumbling and stumbling, not know where he is, apologizing for asking or for answering another question? I'm gonna get in trouble if I do this, tripping, falling up the stairs, falling downstairs, everything else. But okay, you get it. I do wanna make note that we did some research on the fly real quick, and it turns out that The Rock is half Samoan and half black Canadian, which that seems a little more white to me than a regular black guy. I don't know, that's just me. Anyway, here's another quote unquote comedian, Jon Stewart, again with the Trump's fall out of sleep thing, because it's hilarious. And if only they could point the jokes at their guy.
Yes, after years of anticipation, the first criminal trial of a former president has begun. And by all accounts, it is absolutely riveting.
40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep.
Hey, Jake. What part of head down, eyes closed, drool coming out of his mouth do you not f-ing get over here? He's snoring. He's doing the hong shu. He's doing the me, 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 me. There's a piece of paper going up and down and up and down in his mouth. He's asleep. Imagine committing so many crimes, you get bored at your own trial. Move on to the good stuff. Well, it's true. Trump is always very proud to be part of any assault on America.
You know, it's interesting because Donald Trump may have fallen asleep. Maybe he closed his eyes and his mouth was agape and all of that stuff. Again, no evidence. It's just going off of New York Times, Maggie Haberman's report. Haberman, who hates Trump, but he oddly keeps giving her access. And that's like the weird thing that the catch-22, I suppose, that Trump has with the media. They hate him, but then he lets them in, so then they love him and the rest of it. But again, Jon Stewart, I would challenge you. I don't think it'll take that much research, and you've got way more staff than I have, probably 10 times the staff and probably 50 times the budget. Have you ever seen any videos of Joe Biden falling asleep? Have you ever seen videos of Joe Biden falling up the stairs? Have you ever seen Joe Biden being confused or looking at notes or not knowing who he's talking to, et cetera, et cetera? Maybe you could do one of your comedy bits on that. And then I would have to not make fun of you so much or whatever. I'm not even making fun of you. I'm just pointing out the obvious because the hypocrisy is the thing that's off the charts. But the thing is, no matter how many times these MSNBC hosts or these quote unquote comedians run cover for this administration or go after Trump unjustly or anything else, good people are waking up. That has been the thrust of where I have been focusing over the last couple months, because enough of us are seeing through this thing. And if we can just figure out how to deal with it, that's the next challenge, then maybe we can get out of all of this. One of the guys consistently waking up, lifelong Democrat, has not said he's going to vote for Trump yet, but he's kind of coming around. No, it's not Bill Maher this time. It's another guy I've talked about a bit, Stephen A. Smith. Here he is going off on the Dems' political persecution of Trump. And just listen to this in contrast to the quote-unquote jokes we just heard from the quote-unquote comedians.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a disaster. Somebody needs to tell y'all, so I'm going to tell y'all. And I got liberals working for me who will remain nameless, you know, working on my staff and stuff like that. But without looking at them, I'm going to plead to them to understand where I'm coming from. I want to emphasize that I'm not absolving Trump from anything. I'm not trying to paint him as some good guy who's being victimized. That's not what this is about. What this is about is the end game and people not willing to see the forest from the trees, understanding the damage that can ultimately be caused. You want Trump gone? Beat him. Beat him.
That is correct. That is correct and clean. I do want to be clear, though, that I don't think I have any liberals, lefties working here. But if I do, no lunch. No lunch today or any day going forward. But the point that he's making there is the right one. He's not telling you Trump is the greatest man. Do I sit around here telling you Trump is the greatest gift of all time? Have I had my frustrations with Trump in the last year? Yeah. Have my invites to Mar-a-Lago dried up? Yeah, it's okay. It really is okay. I'm going to just call balls and strikes the best way I can. But the way they are going after him is not the way that will heal America. If Donald Trump is kicked off the ballot, if Donald Trump is put in jail, if they can fine and otherwise penalize Donald Trump into oblivion, and then Joe Biden becomes president again, or whatever's left of Joe Biden, or whoever they've got lined up behind Joe Biden becomes president again, how do you think that will go for the rest of American history, right? That they can do that. They can bludgeon a political leader into disappearing or being put in jail. Do you think that will be good, even if you get that temporary win? If you're someone on the left right now still watching this show, do you really think that will be the way to do it? Or would the way to do it be run the best campaign possible? Do the best for America that is possible. And then the proof will be in the pudding. And then you will beat the orange man, who, by the way, has huge negatives, right? He has huge, huge negatives. A huge amount of people hate him. So he shouldn't be that hard to beat. But you guys chose to put up what's remaining of Frankenstein, basically. And that is the problem. That is, it will not be good if they get what they want, which is Donald Trump in jail or not on the ballot. It will not be good. Another person who has been waking up and is officially no longer a Democrat is former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. And there are some rumors that perhaps she could be on the ticket with Trump, which I think would, to me, that's like the A game to go with, because I think it alleviates a lot of the problems that Trump has, especially with middle class women. and some of the more liberal-leaning people who have just had it with the Dems. But here she is talking about the intentions of the machine. I'm always talking about the machine, the people who want to rejigger society. If you just gave them enough money and enough power and enough control, what do you think their real intentions are? I think Tulsi's onto something here.
What's the end goal for these power players that are trying to take over? What do you think their end goal is? Is it just to have control? Is it money? Is it, what is it? These people from the World Economic Forum that want to have the population or something, you know, like what is their goal?
In the deepest, most dangerous sense, they whether they realize it or not, they really believe they're God. And they want to create and manipulate and, you know, orchestrate whatever their version of a utopia, so-called utopia may be. And we can see this through a lot of the policies that they're pushing for or enacting both here, but also the things, their arrogance, their attitude, the things that they are so easily talking about at places like the World Economic Forum, where, you know, you have these globalists, these multi-billionaires, these people in different positions in different industries, just sitting back and talking about the world that they are trying to create and all the tools that they are using, and very clearly recognizing they see the rest of us as little pawns on this, you know, sand table where they're building out the kind of future that they want to see, which is obviously dangerous and pretty scary when you follow their train of, I was going to say train of thought, but they're actually doing it. It's not just a passing thought.
Yeah, they are doing it. Do you think it's weird that Bill Gates, who's deeply involved with the World Economic Forum, is now the largest farmland owner in the United States? Do you think it's odd that Barack Obama, who's constantly telling us about global warming, has a 30-acre estate on the water in Martha's Vineyard? Do you think it's weird that human tree man, John Kerry, flies his wife's private plane all over the country while telling us that we should fly less? Do you think any of that stuff is weird? And also this idea that they want to play God. You know, the famous line by Nietzsche, God is dead. People thought it was like freeing people. That's what it was originally taken to mean. It was freeing people, like, oh, we don't need these imaginary superstitions anymore. We can chart our own course with nothing else. Humans can do it alone. Except when you kill God, the power, no, not the power, the perceived power that you give to man is endlessly awesome. And man often ain't that great. So it was actually a warning that Nietzsche was offering us. But Connor, could you go through the archives real quick? Is there video, could we possibly find videotape of somebody, a powerful guy, who maybe has talked about why the globalists aren't the good guy and that we should push against them, and I don't know, maybe have not national sovereignty and things of that nature. Would you be able to attain a video like that by the time I finish this?
The free world must embrace its national foundations. It must not attempt to erase them or replace them. Looking around, and all over this large, magnificent planet, the truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens.
Man, that is Trump at his best. That was obviously when he was president during a UN general meeting. And I don't know who wrote that, but the spirit of that is right. And do you think that's in contrast with a lot of what we've shown you on this show today? Right, with the visiting professor at Columbia, with the confused students, with the quote unquote comedians and journalists who are trying to have that man removed from the ballot and thrown into jail right now. Like it is all very, very obvious if you can just peer through the nonsense. And I suppose that's what we try to help you do here every given day. But you know what? We will end with this, because it's not just that Donald Trump, okay, so Donald Trump could become president again, and yeah, he can fight and fight and fight, and hopefully he can bring in better people, and hopefully he can, you know, behave, let's say, a little bit better as it pertains to personnel and all the things that we might be concerned about. But no matter what, a politician can't save us. You are the only one who you can save yourself, and there is a guy named Jordan Peterson who often talks about that.
Life is essentially suffering, and I believe that to be a fundamental truth. But perhaps not the most fundamental truth, because I think the most fundamental truth is that despite the fact that life is suffering, people can transcend that. And partly the way they transcend that is by pursuing things of value. And so that if there is no value proposition at hand, then you have no meaning to justify the difficult conditions of your life. And that's brutally difficult for people. You know, Nietzsche said, he who has a why can bear any how. And I've certainly seen this as a clinical practitioner, that people who have no purpose in their life are embittered by the difficulties of their life. And they become first bitter and then resentful and then revengeful and then cruel. And there's plenty of places to go past cruel. That's just where you start if you're really on a downhill path.
Isn't that it? Isn't that it? And we all know that it's it. So yeah, politicians can help us. Some of them are better than others, right? Sure. But it starts with us. So figure out what your why is, and then you will figure out the how. That really is it. That is our program for today. We've got a post-game show at rubinreport.locals.com in about 30 seconds. Part one of my interview with Sage Steele is up across platforms. Full thing up, absolutely ad-free right now at Locals. People of the internet with special guest co-host, Isabel's bouncing around, big author now, big star. She's out there. So we've got Carol Markowitz joining me at 1 o'clock. And that's it. We'll see you later. Ciao.
Considered a medical miracle. Laura Esterman was struck by lightning nearly a month ago, and she was considered officially dead. Thankfully, CPR from her mom revived her heart, but she laid in a coma for 2 weeks, and then she defied all odds and woke up. Well, obviously, there was a problem with that tape. She doesn't really sound like that. She doesn't remember the accident, but the evidence is clear.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.